Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is the new president of Michigan Tech, Richard Kobeck. Richard, it's good to talk to you for the first time. Do you go by Rick or Richard? What do you like?
Rick.
Rick? Okay, well, so that makes two of us then here. So, all right, well, again, this is our first time being able to sit down and talk to you. I always had the pleasure of talking to your predecessor, Glenn Moraz, over the last several years, and he'd come in, and during this time, we'd get a little bit of an update of what's going on at Michigan Tech and what people can expect, because so many things revolve around the university here, and this is, you know, truly a college town, and that's, you know, one of our big pillars. But before we get into all that, I thought it would be a good opportunity just to get to know you a little bit better as well. Can you tell us just a little bit about your background?
Sure. I recently moved here from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where I was vice president and provost of Louisiana State University. But I spent most of my time in the Big Ten, actually. I had graduated from Purdue University and spent some time at Penn State as head of industrial and manufacturing engineering, but grew up half my life in Farmington Hills.
Oh, okay.
And so it's a bit like coming home again. The other half of my life was in Chicago.
All right. What did Nick Saban say? You got to go to the Upper Peninsula when you get a chance or something from there?
No, he would have said Alabama.
He would have said Alabama?
That's the A word for Louisianans.
Okay. Well, it is good to have you here. But I guess, you know, what about the Upper Peninsula that, you know, intrigued you about coming to live here, especially coming from Louisiana?
So when I was a student at Purdue getting my PhD, when my friends would get jobs at Michigan Tech, I'd always think they were the ones that scored. This was the place to go as an engineer. So I graduated at Purdue in engineering, and they had an opportunity to go live in the UP. So when I saw this chance, I thought, finally, after a long circuitous career, I too can end up at Michigan Tech and live in the UP and work here.
Would it concern you at all coming from a Big Ten school and then going down to a Division II school?
No, so I was at Big Ten, you know, Purdue and Penn State, and then the SEC, actually. So, you know, football, right?
Right.
But we have a pretty darn good hockey team.
Yes.
So I'm very excited about Friday night when we face off against Duluth.
Yeah. Oh, hockey big here. Yeah. We love being able to go see some of the Huskies game. We get a suite once or twice a year here for the station. It's always a great time, especially during a winter carnival, to be able to catch those games. And I don't know, have you ever been to a winter carnival at Tech yet?
No.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's crazy. You got to excuse the students. They kind of lose their mind for a week or two there, but definitely a lot of fun. I'm sure people are telling you about that and all the other different events to expect as you're doing your first year here. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, your plans, what you'd like to see of Michigan Tech. What was your impression of the school before you considered this job? Were you aware of Michigan Tech up here at all?
Oh, absolutely. So again, if you look at rankings, and some people like them or don't like them, but you particularly like them when you're ranked high, you know, Michigan Tech is truly a national university. You know, there's national universities and regional universities, and Michigan Tech is in that category, in that league. Like I said, when I looked at my colleagues that were getting jobs in engineering, they're going to Penn States and alike, Michigan Tech was equally, you know, viewed with that stature. So the reputation of the institution is far and wide, not just in the academic world, but also in the industrial world. You know, I mean, there's no question that the job opportunities for tech grads, you know, exceeds most university graduates in ways that, you know, you wouldn't expect from a school of 7,200 people in Houghton, Michigan. So the reputation is absolutely a draw, but the quality of life in the UP is a big draw, but also the value system. You know, honestly, the value system. I mean, it's humble but confident and, you know, tenacious and innovative and, you know, kind of a stick-to-it attitude. And I think all of that is something that attracted me to be part of that, and, you know, be part of this community.
All right. Well, I think that describes the area pretty well from someone else who's also something of a transplant here for this area. Do you have a background yourself? Maybe it's just through the university, but with engineering and others, the STEM fields that Michigan Tech is so, you know, prominent with.
Yeah, so my background's a bit circuitous, but it all makes sense now in hindsight. Actually, my first degree was in biblical literature.
Okay.
So I was a humanities major. And actually, if I were better at humanities, I might have stayed in that. But I realized that my strength is more than math and science. So then I got another bachelor's degree in engineering psychology. Then found that engineering is really where my sweet spot was, you know, the application of math and science. And so did my degrees at, you know, at Purdue University. but also a faculty member at Purdue, and then I guess at a department head at Penn State in industrial manufacturing engineering. Then I was dean of engineering at LSU for 6 years before taking the job as executive vice president and provost for 3 years coming here. Okay. So I have a, my background, I think, matches quite well for Michigan Technological University because we are a technological university, obviously, first and foremost, but we're a university. So we have a strong visual and performing arts and strong humanities and strong kinesiology and strong biology and chemistry. So I think when you look at the background I have, which is a bit diverse but still technologically centered, it maps really well to Michigan Tech's personality.
It definitely seems to fit. Michigan Tech over the last several years have really put a lot of effort out into just growing the university and, you know, adding degree programs, but also making it more of a, well, focusing on research and being, you know, a leader in research. And, you know, that that's something that you'll think you'll be able to continue. You know, that was, I don't know, I'm talking with Glenn here, that was always a big thing. We're talking about the, you know, the research expenditures and just the different projects that Michigan Tech faculty and students were working on. I mean, I think I did a story in the news list last year about the mission to Mars. And you know, Michigan Tech, our folks, you know, our folks right here in the background, our backyard here, would be working on major projects like those.
So I think if you look over the years, Michigan Tech has done a great job maturing as their premier research institution to the point now that, again, research, big research projects in today's world are highly collaborative. They're not just at one university and they're not just one discipline. But as you grow in maturity as a research institution, you partner with other schools that are taking the lead on those multi-million dollar research projects. What you're seeing now, a symptom of success, is that Michigan Tech actually is taking the lead on those large multidisciplinary research projects, particularly in areas that we have, you know, you kind of might call a comparative advantage, like Great Lakes research, right? Like autonomous vehicles and unstructured environments going on at the Keweenaw Research Center, you know, like some of the more secret type of research that we're doing at MITRE. So what you're seeing is that that path to research prominence has been successful, and we are now moving into the next phase, which is we're not just joining the teams, we're leading the teams.
Do you see that there are limits to Michigan Tech as far as, you know, is there, there's only so far you're going to be able to go, and you're never going to be able to compete with some of those larger schools? And is that a good thing that Michigan Tech just, you know, will never outgrow itself?
Yeah, great question. I think the Michigan Tech is in a great spot for what's happening in higher education, which again was one of the attractions to want to be part of that. And that is, there are some schools that have 70,000 students, and there's schools that have 7,000. We have 7,203 this year. No matter what size you are, you have to know who you are. And that is the key, in my opinion, to moving forward in the future. And Michigan Tech has a very strong identity on what it is about. You know, like I said, we're a technologically focused university that develops the technology but thinks about the implications for both society and the environment in improving the quality of life. That's a special place nationally that Tech holds. So we will certainly not be all things to all people, but will be some things to all people. And what we need to, we will continue to focus on things that we have, A, a comparative advantage, but B, we have a responsibility to lead for the nation. Like I said, Great Lakes Research Center is one of those, you know, one of those areas. I think the intersection of technology and humanities is another area that we can lead. So we will continue, and we're going to go into a process right now called Tech Forward on the campus, conversations, to make sure that we agree as a community what those areas are going to be. And then we will lead. So when we say grow, we will grow. We will know what areas are important to our community and our state for our economic development and the welfare of our citizens that we serve. And then we will be world leaders in those areas. But we won't be, we will not be all things to all people. But for what we do focus on, we will be world-class leaders.
You're coming in at really an exciting time for the university. One of the other big advancements, so just within the last couple of years, hasn't even really seen it come to total fruition, but was the investment in medical tech and health in the healthcare fields and what Michigan Tech can bring to that industry. And you know, you have not only new departments opening up, but a new building coming and stuff. So a lot of things that you they're going to be really kind of neat to see just formulate over the next couple of years?
Yeah, I anticipate, again, the faculty are having the conversations now on campus to identify maybe the 5 to 7 key initiatives. But I would certainly anticipate that, you know, we call it HSTEM, health-STEM. HSTEM will be one of those focus areas that come out. And we are optimistic and hopeful that there will be a capital outlay process that will happen soon, and that the HSTEM building, which was ranked number one by the committee for capital outlay, would be one of the ones that are selected for funding this year.
You think Michigan Tech will ever have be a major educator in mining again?
So we started a mining degree, and we will see how that goes. So again, to support the industries that are key to our area, that's in our charter that established this institution back in the 1800s. And we will remain true to that in the manner that's appropriate.
Okay. All right, let's talk about your student body. Some of the other exciting numbers just coming that were released by the university this year. You're seeing a level of diversity in the student body that Michigan Tech has never seen before, both in underserved communities and also the number of women that are now attending. And I never miss an opportunity to say my daughter is one of those women, the young women at Michigan Tech who is studying right now. So I don't know how far you have to go back, probably not too far, because I would talk to some people that went to Tech during like the 80s, and it was predominantly male, and also just the nature of the college has changed over the years. Somebody once described it to me that during the wintertime it was like walking around in the old Soviet Union, block buildings and cold and not a lot going on. It's just hard studying and stuff. And talking with Glenn over the years and with other people from Michigan Tech, there was an effort to start making the university more appealing to a wider, diverse field of students, to bring people in and to do outreach, not only internationally, but also just throughout the country to say, come to Michigan Tech, and becoming more of a welcoming university for the different students.
So you're right. We have had a record number of women this year, broke 2,000, which is a first for us. A record number of underrepresented minorities on campus. And if you look at the charts for the last 10 years, that was a purposeful effort that, as you mentioned, Glenn had put forward. And to his leadership, credit to his leadership, he's achieved that. We'll continue to do that. But not just, it's certainly the right thing to do, and we're committed to that, but the demographics of our state and our nation continue to evolve as well. At the same time that we continue to have a national shortage of students trained in the STEM disciplines that are necessary to fuel our economy and remain competitive as a country. And so I think Michigan Tech, to fulfill its role as a leading technological university, needs to be sure that we're producing the graduates to fulfill that workforce need, which by definition means that we must continue to strive to reach out to all students and make them know what an excellent educational opportunity they have at Michigan Tech.
We've talked a lot over the last several minutes here about the changes that Michigan Tech has undergone over the last several years. But I think it's also important to note what remains the same, and that is, at its core, Michigan Tech is a strong STEM school, science and engineering school. It's your bread and butter. Also, the values that Michigan Tech has is as open-minded and progressive as it is, it still gets high marks for being a school that supports veterans, and a great ROTC program, and Campus for Christ ministry that's on campus. It's certainly, there's so many different sides to the coin to Michigan Tech, and it's great that even in this era of change and progressiveness that there's still those core values at Michigan Tech that remain.
Right, and in my opinion, as we grapple with how to prepare students for this, what we're calling the fourth industrial revolution, right? The advancement of technology at unprecedented rates, making sure that when they graduate here, they have those core values that will help them to be able to adapt and succeed in that, in the future that they're going to face. And so if anything, it would be a matter of reinforcing and, accentuating the value system that we have at Michigan Tech. And you see it in our advertising. Like I said, they're humble but confident. We use the word crazy smart in our advertising, right? They're tenacious in a way that, you know, many students may or may not have experienced. But you, if you graduate from Michigan Tech, that is going to be part of your background. But, you know, Rick, that's probably why you have 370 companies last week coming, 371 actually coming up here to recruit, to Houghton, Michigan, to recruit from this university. I can tell you in other places I work, that number is unprecedented.
Your job placement numbers through the roof, 90-95% starting salaries among, you know, some of the highest that you're going to find. So all of those things that, you know, just, you know, they make Michigan Tech a special place. And now that I've waxed poetically long enough about it, let me ask you, though, coming in, there are always areas that can be improved on, and a fresh set of eyes is the best way to be able to identify those areas. What are some things that you would like to see the university address?
So as a technological school, we focus on innovation, right? But it's important that given all the success that we've had, we do not become complacent. Because while we have it, I mean, the university has achieved, and the hats off to the faculty and to Glenn, the university has achieved, you know, sort of the marks that you had just mentioned. We can stop and rest and celebrate that for a little while, but then we need to get back to work and prepare our students and our university to compete in, like I said, what I call the fourth industrial revolution. And that's the conversations that we have got to have and we are having on campus right now. How do we move forward as a leading institution in a world where the technology is changing so fast? And as you know, higher education is historically not known for its agile, you know, its agility. But with 7,000 students, we can do that. So it isn't that we would want to change anything. It's just we want to be sure that we're equipping our students and the institution for a world where it's going to change. The needs of the employers will change very quickly. They're going to have three and four different careers, not jobs, as they move through their lifetime. Technology is going to be ubiquitous. It'll be difficult to have any degree and not have some technological sophistication, regardless of what it is, whether it's music and dramatic arts, or it's biology, or it's engineering. So looking forward, the task ahead of us right now is to chart the course for the next big inflection point of Michigan Technological University.
We mentioned a little while ago the students and what's, besides what kind of degree they can get from Michigan Tech, one of the things that they're going to think about is how much it's going to cost. Tuition costs may go up invariably. There's just not a whole lot you can do about that. It's also hard to secure all the funding you would love to have. I don't think I've ever interviewed a university president that says, you know what, we're just getting too much money from the state. I wish they'd back off a little bit.
You won't get that from me either, by the way.
Sorry. But it becomes a balancing act because you do want to you want to see the university grow. You want to be able to make strides in research and in providing students a top level college experience, but they also have to be able to afford it. So going forward, have you thought about how you can able to balance to make sure that Michigan Tech, being a smaller school with fewer students, that they're still able to afford the school, so it doesn't get, the tuition doesn't get too high, since you can't really count on a ton of revenue from the state?
Well, as you said, the world of higher education changed right at 2009. I lived through it at my other institution, in which the perception of a university really moved from a public good to a private good, such that, you know, it wasn't back in the 2009 period that you would have 75% of your funding from the state. And that's completely inverted today, where you have 25% at best of your funding from the state. That's the reality. The likelihood that you're going to see major increases in any state budget toward higher education, I hope that that happens, but I won't plan on hope, if you know what I mean. So that's a constraint. It is the case that student debt now is second to mortgages nationally. That's becoming quite an issue for our students as they graduate, not just Michigan Tech. I'm talking in general now. You know, I'm talking about the higher education platform. So that's another constraint. So I think it's going to become incumbent on institutions. And again, it's an opportunity for us, Rick. It's going to be incumbent on institutions to strive to figure out multiple revenue streams to help support these students to get, you know, to get their degrees. One of them one of the things, as I mentioned earlier, know what you're going to focus on and then don't focus on what you're not going to. So we have got to be focused and targeted on the areas that we will be excellent and realize that that's a decision for areas that we aren't going to focus on. That's a process that we're going through right now. Secondly, is to look at the administrative costs and structures of all universities, because the continuing demand for additional services comes at a cost. And while they're all important, we need to weigh the cost-benefit analysis in ways that perhaps institutions haven't historically done. My background is industrial engineering. This is part of what we train students to do. So we were rolling up our sleeves, to do that. A third piece I can tell you is that the Board of Trustees has issued a request that we do a vigorous review of our tuition pricing policy at Michigan Technological University, and we're undergoing that currently this year. I do not know what the outcome of that will be, but I can tell you that that's a serious consideration for this institution and the rate at which the tuition has historically grown. It would be a challenge to sustain that rate moving forward. And then the final piece is that we also have to understand that philanthropic support will continue to be mission critical for institutions to not just be good, but to be great. If we want to have a truly great Michigan Tech, it's going to take sources outside of the traditional streams, and philanthropy, corporate support and private support is going to be a key funding source, particularly when the scholarship side, to help our students. And you will see from me moving forward, as we push forward on philanthropy in unprecedented ways, emphasis on scholarship support is going to be near the top of my list.
All right. Rick, for this, as Michigan Tech continues to grow, and being somebody who works here in Houghton, where to put all the students as far as their living continues to be an issue. I mean, just sit through any rental housing board meeting at the city of Houghton and you'll know that there's going to have to be a long-term solution on housing. And I don't know if that all falls on the shoulders of Michigan Tech. I mean, there's only so many dorms you can build, but the area is just not equipped with a lot of apartments or what you would call traditional student housing. Is Michigan Tech able to do anything and it helps to address that problem?
When I started talking about growth on the university, that was the first thing that came up. Where are you going to put all the students? I don't have the answer yet, but what I do know is that in talking to the community leaders, this is going to be an issue that we all discuss together to be sure that we protect the integrity of the community, which is why we're here, while at the same time providing safe and affordable housing for the students. I do not yet know the path forward, but there are ways to deal with this that perhaps we haven't looked at before, such as public-private partnerships and alike. So that conversations are forthcoming.
All right, definitely looking forward to updates. Yeah. I know we've seen the transformation of neighborhoods here, and most people accept that Houghton's no longer a town with a college. This was actually almost word for word that was said in a planning commission meeting I attended. That Houghton's no longer a town with a college. That we're a university town, and so with that comes a transformation. And if there was not available housing in a lot of these neighborhoods that could be rented for relatively cheap, then the students wouldn't be renting them. But the housing is there because we don't have as many families. But then, at what point do you have a snowball effect? We're in these neighborhoods where families move out because there's more students. And, I've seen the argument go back and forth, and everybody wants to support Michigan Tech. I'm not sure that we have much of a Houghton here if we didn't have a Michigan Tech, and everybody understands that. And it is a cooperative effort, and one we are all kind of waiting to see solutions.
So the first semester, I'm getting familiar with what's happening on campus, and the next semester, which will start in January, that is one of the items on my list to begin having discussions more vigorously with you, because we do have a growth trajectory. You mentioned the word growth. The population of the United States of America is growing. If Michigan Tech doesn't have a wholesome and not extravagant, but a good, steady, wholesome growth pattern, where we'd be falling behind. And we can't afford to do that. And so we do anticipate that you will see some continued growth of the institution. But we'll do it in a manner that, like I said, preserves the integrity of the institution. We will not sacrifice quality in any way, shape, or form. And we'll embrace the community, because that's why we're here.
Okay. All right. The last minute, I want you just... You've been in the job here for literally only a couple of months. You're still very, very new. Give me your impression. Just to, tell me how your welcome has been and how the people has been you know, as you've become a transplant here in the Copper Country?
My wife and I were just commenting on this last night at how remarkable the welcome has been in Copper County and how much we enjoyed it. And darn it, I wish I could have had this job at Michigan Tech when I graduated like my friends did. It's just spectacular. It's spectacular.
Well, definitely.
I have to tell you.
Welcome to the area, and I'm looking forward to having many more years as, you know, when you come in here, hopefully this time of the fall, we can get an update. So thank you again so much.
Thanks for allowing me to join you today.
You're welcome. Rick Kobach from Michigan Tech. I'm Rick Allen. We'll be back here in a moment on A Copper Country Today.